I'm Christian Scheller. Welcome to my podcast, an enthusiastic ramble through whatever has taken my interest the past week or so. Expect technology, games, history, travel, geekery, and as always, much, much more. Welcome to another Chinchilla Squeaks with me, Chris Chinchilla. Clearing out that backlog of interviews. Still, I think I forgot when I actually did this. I saw a date and kept thinking, oh, I only recorded this in December, and then I actually realized I recorded it in October, so I thought it was time I got it out because it was a very interesting interview. This is with Alex from Respeecher, a Ukrainian-based. It was sort of on the tail end of some of the interviews I wanted to do from IT Arena in September, but couldn't quite get the time for. They are actually one of these products where you've probably heard of them. I make this joke again in a few minutes without realizing. Respeecher is voice cloning software. They have helped create famous voices from many people in games, TV shows, movies, and in quite some high-profile outlets, actually. So I will stop talking, let Alex take over the story, and I will talk to you afterwards. But before the interview, just a few words from sponsors. So I'm joined by Alex from Respeecher. We meant to catch up at IT Arena in Lviv, but didn't quite work out. But the product was interesting enough to me that I wanted to make sure we had a conversation anyway, on the ground in Lviv or not. I feel like a Respeecher I've actually heard of. Maybe it was on one of those hottest startups to look for in Ukraine or something lists. Who knows? But for people who haven't heard of it, what is Respeecher? In the name, give some things away, but what's the product for?
Hi, Chris, and thanks for having me. Yeah, Respeecher is not just a product, it's also a service, and you might have heard us in plenty of different Hollywood movies or video games, and what we developed is a very high-quality synthetic speech and our sound professional service on top of that in order to be able to replicate a needed voice for a piece of content. Mm-hmm. And as an example, we can talk about Mandalorian or Book of Boba Fett, where we did the voice of young Luke Skywalker. We basically made Mark Hamill sound exactly like he sounded 40 years ago, as well as James Earl Jones in Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. Is also our work. And for big video games, you might have heard our work in God of War, Ragnarok, okay, Previous year, and just recently released Cyberpunk 2077.
On the game side, I'm not so knowledgeable on, but some of those films, I've certainly heard of those games. So, and it's quite an introduction. You might have heard of us, which is very clever, in some large films and games, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it's certainly, people have heard your work, I think, is what you could say. So when did you begin and why?
We started as a company in early 2018, okay, So it's been already a while ago. But before that, we spent several years on playing around with the technology and running the idea of voice cloning by some content creators to get initial feedback.
Mm-hmm. And was there a reason why? Was it something you've studied or you worked at a company before or just the area interested you?
Yeah, myself and Dmitro, another co-founder of Respeecher, we were working together in another company. It was quite boring job on making like big data analytics for banks and insurance companies to help them sell better. And we were taking part in different competitions, like IT competitions. And at some point, Dmitro picked an idea at this competition, hackathon, organized by Grammarly in Ukraine. And the idea was to try to make one voice sound like another voice. And the reason for picking the idea, I guess, was twofold. First of all, no one was playing around with sound on that hackathon. Everyone was so focused on image generation or image processing. And also, Dmitro is very into music and sound himself. He is a good musician and stuff. So we ended up winning that hackathon. And then in 2017, we met our third co-founder, Grant, who's been around in Ukraine. And he was thinking about creating a startup in a very close space to what Dmitry and I were thinking about. He was looking into accent conversion, a technology that would let someone change their accent. And those technologies go hand in terms of techniques used. So we decided to start the company together. And initial idea was to create something that would go through PK sound engineers in Hollywood studios, because we saw an opportunity there, and that was the feedback we got from studios on the idea of using voice cloning in high quality content. We were unique in the market, we're still unique in the market, and that was an amazing challenge that let us unite great minds around the technology itself, like R&D team, deep learning engineers, as well as it was an exciting product to work on, because we saw ourselves being part of big productions and learn a lot from big productions. And also we saw ourselves as pioneers, potential pioneers in sound synthesis, which is quite exciting thing to do.
So I'm imagining that a lot of the work you do, from how you described it, is fairly custom for each customer. But broadly speaking, what does the process look like? I come to you with a script, or I want this sort of voice, or from some of the examples you gave me, maybe it sounds like it could also be very different for each person. Just they want something, some sort of voice, and they approach you, and then the process is it really depends on what the request was. Or is there something more off the shelf that you do?
Yeah, right now we have several streams of business at Respeecher, and the work in films and video games is our service part of the business. That's where we actually do some sound craft, where we are very much involved into the process. And there we have different use cases when a voice needs to be scaled or recreated, when there is no other way how you can get the voice. And the process looks as being in contact with the studio, and if they have permission to use the voice, if they have data we can use, we start training the models. We basically introduce recordings, for instance, of your voice into the model with your permission, and model learns how to convert anyone else's voice into your voice. This learning process called model training, and it usually takes from several days to a few weeks, depending on complexity of the task. And then we are ready to do conversions. Okay. So another human being can record new lines that are needed for film or TV, and then we can convert it on our end, meet some creative expectations, and send it back to client.
Okay.
Additionally to that, we have cases when we introduce voices to the system once, and then a company could use a voice over and over again if they create derivative content, for instance, or they need to do a lot of content over time. And additionally to that, we have a tool, SaaS platform called Respeecher Marketplace, that's designed for small creators. It's basically a democratized version of our very heavy but Hollywood-grade technology that can be used by small independent creators, musicians, voiceover actors, and they have a variety of voices on the platform they can choose from and convert their voice or voice of one voice actor they would hire, and basically make their content compete with big studios content in terms of voiceover, because they obviously don't have big budgets for voiceover.
That was actually going to be my question, because the first thing you get to in your website is voice cloning for content creators. And I don't necessarily consider Hollywood studios content creators, but they are, but not in that modern sense of the word. I think of a content creator as more someone like me. So I was wondering, how could I take advantage of Respeecher? And myself, I've done some voiceover work. So if I wanted, I could somehow get my voice in your system for people to use if I wanted to. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, we see that in future for Marketplace, to make a platform, to adjust the platform to the extent where this use case would happen. Yeah. Though Respeecher is very careful in terms of ethics and in terms of our ability to control the ownership of the voice, as well as moderating the content and giving ability to control the content that's being created in your voice. Yeah, that's why it's not yet in production.
I could say, I don't want my voice used for political ads, for example.
Yeah. But if you were doing some voiceover work, there are some challenges we help with for voiceover actors. Mm. Basically, if you're a voiceover actor, you're being hired because of two things. First, your ability to perform, right? That's your professional skill. And second, the voice you have at the particular moment of your life. And that's something you were born with. And we remove the second limitation. So you're being hired because of your ability to perform. You can perform in your younger voice. You can perform in different voice. You can keep your vocal identity in different language. For instance, we train the system on your voice. And then another voice actor in China, for instance, perform the lines that are needed for the character, and their voice is being converted into your vocal identity, like your native Chinese speak. Or you're doing character voices, which is a big problem for voice actors, because some character voices are really hard to get. You can do like those character voices for 15 minutes a day, and then you need to rest all day long just because it hurts. Now we can train the system on your character voice, and you can perform in your normal way of performance, and that would let you do easier and more.
This is always a promise of these sorts of services. Of course, how they're used remains to be seen, and it's not entirely your choice. If studios decide to use services like ReSpeecher to not do those ethical things, you can't exactly stop them.
I can't agree on that.
No? Okay.
It's not legal to use your vocal identity without you being part of it.
Oh, for sure. You should give
your permission.
Yeah.
If you have not signed an agreement where you give all the rights of your voice to a studio, which is not often a case. Usually it's not a case in the agreement.
And if they want
to use your voice for something else, they need to get in touch with you. And in case of ReSpeecher, we basically require a copy of permission.
This is one of the arguments we've seen of these current actor strikes, is that some studios are not being as ethical as maybe they should. In wider context, which we'll actually come to in a minute, I just wanted to ask a strange question, maybe not about that permission. I think you said that you've actually used voices of actors who are dead. So I'm assuming you get permission from whoever has been given the permission for their estate, or is there also the concept of a voice being in the public domain? The actor died 100 years ago, doesn't matter anymore. Is there a similar concept for something like that than with other media?
We heard of a concept of voices being public domain, but we have not worked in such cases, because in all of the cases we've been part of, there is someone who is behind the ownership of this intellectual property, which is your voice. We did quite a lot of work in terms of resurrecting a voice, if we can say it that way. For instance, in Cyberpunk, the recent one, we recreated the voice of a deceased actor with the permission of their family.
Yeah, okay.
So basically, they gave their permission. We did Vince Lombardi for Super Bowl 2021. And it was massive thing. It was like 2.1 bills impressions. And NFL, as well as estate of Vince Lombardi, was actively involved in the process of recreating the voice and giving their permission. So usually there is always someone behind the ownership.
Fair enough. I suppose anyone who has a recorded voice, that recording is not that old. Mainstream recordings are not that old, really. So they probably at least still have family alive.
Yeah, but recordings is one thing. So recordings is what we can call copyrighted material. Okay. And we should be using copyrighted material to recreate.
I think in terms of that someone would recognize their voice. Most people don't really know what Abraham Lincoln sounded like, for example. This kind of thing. They're famous people, but people don't really know what they sounded like. Whereas anything from the past 100 years, most people have a vague idea of what they sound like because we're used to having recordings of audio and visual, for example. It's actually quite an interesting conversation. I know there's been a lot of these stories about how actors who were in the silent movies and then suddenly had to speak, and people were just really confused by these actors suddenly speaking. And the actors weren't even very good at it because they were not used to doing it as well. And that's not that long ago, relatively speaking. But coming from the past to the future, you said you started around 2018, effectively. And in the past, even the past year, really, there's been a lot of advances from other places of voice synthesis. And how have you found keeping up with those? Because whilst you have done some very big jobs, some of these other competitors possibly have a better market awareness, something like Whisper, for example. People have probably heard of it more. So how have you kept up with a lot of that competition that may not be as good, but has a better awareness?
First of all, it depends what market we target for. And I would say that in Hollywood market, ReSpeecher has the biggest awareness.
For sure, yeah.
So they actually use the verb to ReSpeech. That means to do something with sound using artificial intelligence.
You know, you've
arrived.
It's
not obligatory cloning a voice. But in terms of competition and what's happening in the market, it's always been there. Yeah. I'd agree that it's intensified these days, but most of the competition happening in text-to-speech space, while ReSpeecher is speech-to-speech first.
Yeah.
And there are significant difference between text-to-speech and speech-to-speech if we think about high-quality content. Text-to-speech has ability to scale a lot, so you don't have humans in the loop, right?
Yep.
But it has its own limitations, which makes it almost unusable for TV series or for film or even for video game. And those limitations, they caused by language models that are used by text-to-speech. Mm-hmm. So they are based on vocabularies. They are limited to languages the system knows. Mm-hmm. And if something falls out of vocabulary, if you say some name or some address or whatever is not even vocabulary, it just fails.
Mm-hmm.
And additionally to that, you don't have full control over emotions.
Okay.
And that's a big issue for the industry, because you can make text-to-speech sound excited or sad. You can even make text-to-speech sound resembling to a particular human, like they would be saying it, but you don't have fine controls over that. And if you can imagine how many buttons would we need to put on this soundboard to embed all those fine controls we have with our voice as humans, it would be a huge and unusable soundboard. That's why we've been doing speech-to-speech since the beginning. Yeah. Now we also have text-to-speech offerings as part of our service. But in speech-to-speech domain, it seems so far we achieved very good results in terms of quality, naturalness, speaker identity of the sound. And additionally to that, we have service. And the service consists of sound engineers who are crafting the sound, speaking the same language as our client, meeting their creative expectations, which is usually a big thing for each big project. It's very important to do that. And those two expertises to be blended within one company, sound expertise and deep learning expertise, that never happened in industry yet, but ReSpeecher. That's why we feel quite comfortable in terms of the high quality content creation, but in terms of more B2C oriented things like voice marketplace, there is obviously competition, and there are great companies out there, and there are bad companies who are releasing the technology to a global audience, letting them introduce voices they don't own and do no content moderation, do bad things, do porn, all those Pandora box issues.
I think the thing is, maybe I didn't fully appreciate what text-to-speech versus speech-to-speech meant until I spoke to you. But I guess the bigger problem you have is that to a lot of people, you hear voice synthesis and they just think it's all the same. A voice is coming out of nowhere, effectively. It isn't, but effectively. So doing that self-marketing to make people realize that they're not the same thing. And they do have different use cases as well. And actually, so with yours, especially in the game context, does every, I'm sure there's a proper word for this, but let's just say every sentence of language, does it have to be pre-prepared or can it be dynamically created, especially in games?
Yeah, currently we work in offline mode for such type of project. So basically, a line needs to be recorded by someone and then converted. And then usually it's been polished by sound people, especially if we deal with old data or challenging data, stuff like that. But we also have projects where it's been created on the fly, including text-to-speech projects, as well as we have real-time version of our technology that lets us change someone's voice with a very small delay, with about 300, 400 milliseconds delay. And also this technology allows us to change accent of a person and voice. And that gives some new opportunities and new use cases that go far beyond media only. So we can think about communication. Mm-hmm. We also do some work in healthcare, which is very exciting. We help patients with speech disorders, laryngectomy mm-hmm. patients mm-hmm. communicate better, just to convert in their voice in a better voice so they are better understood. Yeah. And real-time use cases are quite exciting for the company and for the industry in general, because those are usually based on speech-to-speech technology. Because if you think about whatever text-to-speech models involved into real-time, it's mistakes happening on the stage of recognition, on the stage of translation if it happens, and on the stage of generation, mm-hmm. while speech-to-speech just works with the stream of audio. And it happens faster, as well as it does not introduce usually new mistakes caused by models.
Yeah. It is quite a fascinating product you have, I must admit. And yeah, I must have heard the name mentioned in I think at least some of these games, I'm not 100% sure. I also find it interesting because unlike some of your competitors, as far as I could tell, I only see AI mentioned once, which is, I don't know if that was a conscious decision on your part or just because you existed before it became this big buzzword. But I also like the fact that maybe you're doing it intentionally to differentiate yourself and saying, we are doing something a little more high quality here. It's not just give us your credit card and off you go. It's something a lot more involved than just capturing all the people following the latest hype. But just to, let's focus a little bit on the kind of Ukrainian perspective. One of the things, Tirina, this year, a little bit less than last year, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's hard to know, was this fact that it's a little bit more challenging than it was before to do business with people outside the country. And especially if you're dealing a lot with Hollywood, although I think some of those game companies you mentioned are a little closer, like Poland, for example, which is a little bit closer. How have you found dealing with Hollywood studios and things and without maybe the ability to actually meet them easily, et cetera, et cetera? Has it made the job harder or you're now established enough that they're understanding to that or?
Yeah, I've been always a big believer that you can create great technologies and great teams wherever, right? And it doesn't actually matter where the team is, if they can deliver and if they can do that according to standards of the industry in terms of security, in terms of respectfulness to characters and stuff like that. And I found out that Hollywood studios think the same. So essentially, over time of Free Speecher existence, I meet in person maybe 4 Hollywood studios, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like all of them. And we've been communicating with our clients from Ukraine even before the full-blown invasion. We've been doing that through
the war as well,
through the COVID. Yeah. And COVID actually helped with that because everyone in the industry understood that things could be done remotely. Now, it's a bit harder because sometimes you need to meet people, you need to travel. It's hard to travel for males who are in Ukraine. But other than that, I wouldn't say that our location somewhat affects in a negative way our ability to do our job. And I've seen that in numbers. I've seen a zero number of studios with ongoing contracts that stopped whatever work we were doing for them when the full-blown war started. We did 2 things. We did proper operation and we did communication. So we communicated to all our clients, to all our stakeholders, to our all our investors, to our team, what's actually happening, what we are doing to manage being operational, what have we done to prepare. And given the track of record we have in the industry and given the scale of the projects we were working on, we were fine. So we were able to perform. And I would say that in the very end of February 2022, we delivered several huge projects. So on 24th of February, when it all started, I saw our sound engineers sending files for Obi-Wan Kenobi from the bomb shelters. The next month, we were delivering some big work for Ella Black, the song Wake Me Up in the voice of Hello Black in different languages. At the same time, we were delivering God of War, the biggest video game of 2022. So we were doing our job. We were communicating properly. We have been always transparent about what's happening, how we manage things to be happening. And also we tried to initiate the community around Respeecher to bring Ukraine higher on global agenda as much as we could.
This is something I saw on your website. Hang on, there it is. So this calling famous people to speak Ukrainian using our technology, the Speak Ukrainian initiative. I don't know if that's what you're referring to, but what are you aiming to achieve with that initiative?
Yeah, it's a part of this story in terms of Ukraine on global agenda from Respeecher. The main part is what I'm proud of, that all the big publications about Respeecher, including Variety, Forbes, Bloomberg, since the full-blown invasion started, are mentioning Ukraine in the headline. So that's been important for us because we can bring this agenda to global audience of fans of TV series or of the video game. In terms of this Speak Ukrainian campaign, that was our initiative to involve famous people in the process of advocating for Ukraine and in the process of being ambassadors for Ukraine. And we gave them opportunity to use our technology to speak Ukrainian to Ukrainian people in their own voice. So basically, we used our technology to make them sound like they can speak native Ukrainian, which is amazing for us because we can feel this support and we can understand the importance of that, but also that's important for their fans who are following them and see that they pay attention, that they care. And some of those people who joined our Speak Ukrainian initiative, they also joined United 24, the initiative from the government of Ukraine, where they actually involve and attract ambassadors from all over the world to be part of Ukraine resilience, as well as be part of the future Ukraine rebuild.
Yeah, that's fascinating. The final question I usually like to end on, which I appreciate you probably don't want to talk about clients because I can imagine they're pretty secretive about it, but from a sort of technology product perspective, what's your plans for the next 6 months or so? Anything you're willing to mention?
Yeah, we work really hard all the time on making our models easier to use, more robust, less sensitive to bad recordings, and requiring less data. Yeah. So that's been constant improvement, and we see progress in that. But also we work hard on speed. And now we have this real-time thing, which gets early traction in media, as well as it gets early traction in communication. And I believe that real-time use cases for voice cloning and accent changing would be quite big within the 6 months time period. We're now in the very active phase of healthcare development, and I believe that in about 6 months, many thousands of laryngectomy patients would be able just to live a better life because they would have our technology in their pocket, basically.
Oh, so this is like an updated version of something like what Stephen Hawking used or something different? Or
yeah, it's a bit different story. So Stephen Hawking wasn't able to
talk at all.
Right. We started with patients that can talk, injectomy patients, but the case is they went through throat cancer and they had their vocal box being removed. And now they can use their articulation and a particular device to be able to sound like they're speaking, but they sound really bad. So it's really hard to understand them. They have to repeat themselves like 4 or 5 times in order to be understood, even by their doctor, who used to hear that a lot. And what we tried to do a year ago, actually a bit more, we started doing that in the very beginning of full-blown invasion. We tried to use our real-time tech on their output voice and convert it right from the box, and it worked. We conducted trials, and now we are at the stage where we are scaling. So we basically, with partners in the industry, will bring the technology close to patients and make it accessible to patients on a scale.
I remember reading something a long time ago saying that there were, I don't know if this ever led anywhere, and it's slightly related to what you're saying, that if people ever wanted to do control of computers, for example, from thinking, into this sort of brain-computer interface, that actually the voice box, even if you think what you're going to say, the voice box still reacts, and that would actually be the most likely way of controlling a computer, actually having a sense of hear than hear. And I have no idea if that's true, but it's just making me remember reading that somewhere. I don't know. But it's this interesting thing, of course, that you give people the ability to speak again, and then that opens up other options for them as well to control all sorts of other things. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting a little bit far out in my thinking.
At the current moment, it goes far beyond our technical scope.
We are focused
on transforming audio into audio. And for input audio, we can play around with different inputs, like bad speech from laryngectomy patients. Yep. But I believe in future, the technologies converge. So that's what we see a lot. And whatever progress we would see from the technology you mentioned could be part of the story of actually making people live better life. And that's what technology is here for.
For sure.
It should serve us, right?
That's a great spot to end. I'm just going to say one more thing, and because I'm just intrigued to ask, because when you're talking about throat cancer or other illnesses that affect your ability to speak, and then celebrities, etc., I have no idea if it was you or not, and you probably wouldn't even tell me if it was. But of course, the most recent example of that is Val Kilmer in Top Gun.
It wasn't
2.
Us.
Okay, it's similar-ish. Someone who was unable to speak being recreated, etc., etc. So,
they use text-to-speech technology.
Oh, really?
Intentionally.
Huh. Okay, interesting. See, I don't think I've actually seen the film, so I can't comment on how good it was. I'm sure it wouldn't be as good as if you'd done it. It'd be much better if you'd done it, of course. But anyway, awesome, amazing. It's actually, I think you could definitely be added to that list of the big Ukrainian startups, like that people forget probably even come from Ukraine, like Grammarly as well, and you, and there's a handful of others that are probably companies people have seen the work of without even realizing. Grammarly, I think people have a more direct interaction with you. They have probably experienced your work without even realizing, in pretty big properties. So maybe final question on that perspective. What do you think it is that has made Ukraine such a strong ground for great ideas?
If we unfold this question, it would be caused by misinterpretation of what Ukraine is. We used to misinterpret Ukraine in general. We used to think that people outside Ukraine used to think that we are part of Soviet Union, we are a corrupted piece of land, which is all about agriculture, and that's it. But we are not. We are just a big, modern European country that has very interesting and very powerful historical roots, way more powerful than Russian historical roots. And good thing we know how to unite. Good thing we know how to be resilient, how to be lean, and how to fight. And all those good things, they contribute to our ability to perform as entrepreneurs, because that's also skills you need to have as an entrepreneur. That's why we see many good entrepreneurs are coming from Ukraine and many great ideas are coming from Ukraine. I believe we will just unwrap it once we over the war, once we end the war, and once we get proper support of startup and startup culture in Ukraine, because it just started to be created. We have history of our independence from this Soviet Union of 33 years, and we have history of startup world of 15 years. It's nothing compared to Silicon Valley. But in terms of skills and in terms of ability to build, we are good. And war also taught us to be stronger entrepreneurs, because I've seen cases when something could basically just kill the business and founders would just fall down because SVB crisis or whatever. But for us, it's just another challenge, which is nothing compared to existential threat we have over the last years, the Russia been trying to kill us. And that makes us a bit more resilient, and we are happy to be building from here, and we are happy to unite here great minds around solving global problems. We see a lot of examples of that despite the war. Once the war is over, it would just
no stopping.
Rise.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you so much for your time. And that was my interview with Alex from ReSpeecher. something I think I will actually try. I have a few interviews coming up in the similar space, actually. This AI generated content around assets for games and other media. So I'm going to maybe do a little bit of a analysis of some of these tools at some point in the future. But this is the first of several of those, actually. So if you found that interesting, there is more to come. A little bit from me. By the time this episode goes out, you will also see that the podcast is now available on my YouTube channel as well. It seems to be something YouTube keeps pushing, so I thought it was time I finally did it. It's an interesting way to listen to podcasts, but it actually seems to be quite popular, so who am I to judge? Also, I have a new interactive fiction playthrough on YouTube, a little review and playthrough of the Magna Turana, quite a cool little game that someone asked me to test, so I did. And also, I haven't really announced this or put it anywhere yet, but if you're so inclined to find it, you can find the second collection I've released of Flash Fiction called Smorgasbord Fiction Volume 2. It's on Amazon and it's on a Tribe Through Fiction for the time being. And you can also find more details on my website, of course, which is christianchiller.com, where you can also find way more about me. I am slowly editing a whole bunch of video and audio versions of those as well to put out on various channels, but it's going to take a little bit longer. But you can find the good old-fashioned text version there in the meantime. I will be at FOSDEM and then the Open UK event in London over the coming weeks. So if you happen to be in Brussels or London between February the 2nd and February the 8th, let me know. Always cool to catch up. But until next time, and another interview from me, thank you very much for joining me and take care, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show. Find out more about me at chrischinchilla.com, where you can find show notes, sign up for my newsletter, and find all of my writing, games, work, and video links. There's also details on how to get in touch with me. And if you want to get even closer to what I do, join my Discord server for behind the scenes.